Hey, everybody.
Where's
okay,
it?
I guess I'm the only one saying hey. Hey, hey, hey.
We're here, we're live.
That's what
anyway,
I thought.
We're not live, we're recording, but.
I said we're alive, not live.
Oh,
but okay.
I thought she said we're live. I'm like, no, we're not. Anyways, hi, people. This is a recording brought to you by the Bitchy Witchies.
On the phone, please leave a message.
So, today we will be discussing ancient relics and how that ties into magical practices.
We're going to talk about ancient relics that were discovered and that people still flock to go see, that people still feel have some sort of magical properties to them. And it's not just those of the occult. We see a lot of religious folks that will flock to them to try to touch them or even just see them. And what kind of impact has it had in the occult world? Do we still look to those in our magical practice? Do we still use those? Have we tried to create replicas of that practice? Or do we continue using it as they use it in the past? That's what we're going to talk about.
The aspect of the relics that you can like visit.
What about ancient shrines? Would that count?
Yeah, Stonehenge. Stonehenge is an ancient shrine or ritual area.
Yeah,
I love that
stuff that are considered artifacts, you know, that that have some sort of mystical things to them. The relics, the stuff that are out there that have been discovered that are in museums. You know what. People still go for miles to go see, how we turn around and still use them today. Some of them have not completely, but some of them have changed from their original purpose. Some of them we still use it for the same exact purpose.
The point I want to make about the mirror is that I think on one side of the argument, it can be made that, okay, the obsidian mirrors that we still very much use today, no, they're not like exact replicas of just one that was found. The obsidian mirrors are something that numerous of them have been found from ancient times, and they are still used in the exact same manner. And another thing that I feel is important, at least for me, is even though they're still being made today, they're still being cut today, obsidian isn't made overnight.
No.
Obsidian takes a long time to form in nature. So I also feel like even though you can still get brand new ones that have probably never been used by somebody else in 2024, and it still be like, that is still a very ancient thing you're using. That is an old stone that was just happened to be bought now.
Yeah, and like you're saying, you know, it many people still use it the exact same way.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at like the witch bottle relics, you know, we know historically what they were used for, and they are not used the same way today. You know, we have right or wrong taken it and twisted its purposes. When witches bottles were technically used against us, and now we use them, you know, witches bottles were created by people to work against witches. Today, witches use witches bottles for protection and aggressive protection to protect themselves against others. So it's
yeah.
Like they kind of turned the tables. And again, you know, not here to say whether it's right or wrong, just saying that, you know, we've taken those relics and kind of repurposed it to our 21st century needs. Same with witches' ladders.
A lot of
also,
the relics are actually a lot of relics that people consider magical and stuff are kind of biblical
because of Christian mysticism, Jewish mysticism, all of those.
Mary Magdalene's freaking skull encased in a gold statue with a glass covering so you can see her head, and people go and lay their hands on it and pray for, you know, when they need something.
What about that? This is going to make me sound horrible because I should know the proper name, but the Guadalupe blanket.
Yes. I don't know what it's called. I could just call it the Blanket of Guadalupe. It's in the church in Mexico, or it was. I've been there before, but like it wasn't on display when I went because they only display it every so often. Yeah, because they do. They keep it on, like, they have it at her church in Mexico, but they only display it a couple times a year. One of them is on her actual feast day.
Because wasn't it Juan Diego?
Yes, there you go.
He had a vision to make the shrine to Guadalupe. And she gave him roses wrapped in the blanket, and that's what kept them alive for the journey to where it was going to be built on a hill in the middle of the fucking desert. And so when he unraveled the blanket to show people, like, hey, look, see this blanket kept these flowers alive. That's how I know this is where it needs to be. When he unfolded the blanket, it was an image of Lady of Guadalupe. And that's and it's made of agave fiber, which is that's the one that's still hanging in the basilica.
You
He's the one
see?
that built the shrine to Guadalupe
Mm-hmm.
on Tepeyac Hill.
Yeah, which ended up turning into her whole little church. It's a beautiful church.
Yeah, people go and pray to it. They if they try to touch it to heal themselves and stuff, like, yeah, they have to guard that thing. Like
They do.
So, like, why don't you talk about Stonehenge?
So actually, like, I know there's a lot of different scientifical information because apparently they still haven't even touched on the depths of the rocks, because I know some of them keep go deep into the ground. So they're pretty old, like centuries old and stuff. And people I know flock there all the time for, especially people, pagans and witches, because it's supposed to hold power and stuff. I don't know what kind of power, but like I can actually feel and see that, especially because they don't know what actually Stonehenge was, though. Like, was it a ritual place? Was it a temple that they had made? What was, like, no one actually knows what Stonehenge was built for. I just know that. I think it's supposed to be druid, though. Like, I.
There are some, I think some archaeologists who feel that there was some, at least at one point, some Druid influences on
Yeah, because I
those.
know there's carvings on the rocks that indicate Druid or Celtic forms of
Right.
worship there. So
And they
you see
actually say that the ages of the rocks are different. Like,
Yeah,
I
like
think it
there's
was it the outer ones that are old, much older than
the
the
outer
inner ones,
ones.
and
The outer ones are supposed to be like 500 to 600 years older, or even a little more than the inner ones, and some of the like further outside ones.
yeah.
Just the fact that you're thinking about how deep the rocks actually are, because they're still like another few feet under the ground. So think about it, like how did they structure that? Like how did they build that and put those together?
Right.
But like I
Well,
know a
and
lot
even
of
still today, you know, there's pagan groups that will hold their solstice celebrations there at
absolutely.
Stonehenge.
Yeah,
So,
there's
I mean,
always.
regardless of the actual truth of how they came about, you know, it's clear that people still believe and still feel that there is some sort of significance, some sort of either magical or energetic influence. And I think that there's some that say that it crosses, or the some ley lines cross
Yeah,
Stonehenge, you know,
there's ley
which are.
lines, and I know that there's some like they've shown it on video where literally on the solstice, there's a one stone area, like one section of it that lines up planetarily. Like when all the
Right.
planets line up, you can see straight. So if you put a telescope, this notch in one of the stones will line up planetarily, perfectly
Yeah.
on certain parts of the year and all that. So like I think that's a really cool like relic structure, especially since people still use it, even though we don't know what it was actually used for, but they use it for what we think it was, because a lot of the carvings on it are indicated of Druid and Celtic practices.
I can't remember if, because as you know, where the stars align today aren't exactly where they aligned thousands of
Hundreds of,
years ago.
yeah, thousands, because
And so don't know if it really truly was the case. Like, I honestly can't remember what the literature says. But the fact that it does today, I think holds obviously a lot of significance, definitely for those today.
yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that's what ancient civilizations like followed was planetary stuff. So the fact that that was created that way and it still works that way on that one spot is pretty cool.
The other thing I was thinking about was the different grimoires, that were discovered through various archaeological digs and just discoveries all in all. So we have the incantations that were found on cuneiform clay tablets. Those date back to the 5th and 4th centuries BCE. And then we have the Solomonic text, of course. We have the 6th and 7th book of Moses. We have all of those that Picatrix,
Yeah.
that all of those ancient texts that we still use those today. I think the challenge that we have as a cult community, though, is that a lot of what we use are the translations. It's no different from when we talk about, the Bible. And when we talk about the Abrahamic religions, is people use today the newer translations. And so how accurate are we on them? I don't know, in using them, but nonetheless, we use them.
It's true. I mean, there's so many different things that they've undug that are written word. Do a lot of them have the same meaning as today? Absolutely not.
I mean, to be fair, if you want to check, you can. You just have to learn that language. Fortunately,
Yes.
there is a lot of materials nowadays that makes that a lot easier to do than it used to be. It's still a lot of work, but like the Picatrix is a perfect example because in its original form, it's in Arabic. And it's based on the ancient studies of astrology and mysticism. So, yeah, all the versions that I have are translated in English because I don't speak or read Arabic. So yeah, most of the ones that you get now are going to be translated, but you can check if you want to do the work. It's just going to be a lot of work. Like there's certain things that I had to learn some Greek for. And I did that and it sucked. And like I'm not like fluent in Greek or anything. Like don't start talking speaking Greek to me because I'm not going to know what the fuck you're talking about. But I had to study Greek for about a year and a half just to study astrology because there's certain source texts and words and stuff that are written in Greek. And so,
Yeah.
I think that's important too. If you're going to use ancient source material, maybe learn some key words.
But the average person is unfortunately not going to take the time to do that. And so that kind of brings me back to,
Well, hopefully, if you're in our audience, you're not the regular person and are willing to do the work. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Do the work.
Like you brought up the whole biblical thing, and they're still uncovering chapters of the Bible that aren't in the actual Bible.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I stole a copy of the Apocrypha from the local library.
Did
Yes, I did, swear.
you? There you go. Yeah, because like
They
they really
were
are.
not happy.
They still pulling up jars full of papyruses that of chapters that didn't even make it to the Bible. Like they were thrown out because they were irrelevant to whoever, the people that put the Bible together. Like there's a whole bunch of books from women and shit that they didn't put in there.
Like, women can
Well, of
write
course not.
witches.
Right? Like I
How
want
dare
to
women write?
read those just because I want a different perspective. But like they're still like every year they're pulling up another jar full of papyruses full of different chapters from different people.
Well, and the cool thing is that, but again, they're all translations, but a lot of that, to Angel's point, is a lot of that is available now on the internet. I mean, the Book of Giants, I just downloaded that like a month ago. And
Yeah,
I'm like, oh
dude.
shit, look, it's available.
It's
You know,
well, we
now
live.
agnostic texts are completely available.
Yeah,
And we
I
live
have
in
a
a
copy of the
time,
book.
yeah, we live in a time where so much information is available at your fingertips. Take advantage of it, because you don't
yeah.
like things are constantly changing, and some laws could change tomorrow that like really buckle down on how things are distributed, because yeah, sometimes you're bootlegging a book, but like it happens. But
Right.
information is information. A lot of us are very much like most information should be free.
Especially the
So
older
yeah.
texts.
Yeah. It, like, bitch, you
Yeah.
didn't write that shit. The person that wrote it has been dead for 1,000 years. Put the book on the internet for free. Seriously, stop.
Please.
But another thing too on the translations before we move on. A lot of the original texts have been translated because a lot of people can't speak Arabic or Sanskrit or like a lot of the texts that we use in the
Or
occult.
languages don't even exist today.
Yeah, like they don't exist today, and it's incredibly difficult to find courses on how to learn them. There is starting to be a lot more study. It is starting to be more of a thing where they're making recordings of what ancient languages would have sounded like, and they're starting to chip away at that stuff, but you can't get on Duolingo and learn Sanskrit. You just can't. So trust me, I looked. But yeah, a lot of the translations are new, but a lot of it has been translated multiple times, so you can cross-reference pretty easily still.
Yeah.
I only had to buy two different versions of the Picatrix to be like, okay, they both basically said the same shit.
Yeah, man. Well, at
I
least you
got like
know
a really
what.
old translation, a really new translation, and just compared them.
And I think
Yeah.
that's part of the thing that you need to kind of take into consideration when you study those books, if you're going to choose to use them, is that sometimes the translations are not going to be that far off from each other. It also
Yeah.
depends on the specific passages and
The
whether or
Bible's
not
another good example of that. Oh, yeah.
certain words, sometimes you get the general gist of it, and that's okay. Sometimes you do have to be more specific to the word, and so that's where you really have to be keen on the different translations and know the difference. The one that keeps coming to mind is the this is from the Gnostic texts, where one of the books has a passage in there about Jesus and Mary, Jesus kissing Mary. Well, there's a part, the part it says Jesus kisses Mary on the, and it's like I feel like we're watching, Rocky Horror Picture Show, anticipate, because the part on the, that part is gone. And so everybody has tried to fill that in. Some people say, oh no, he meant to say Jesus kisses Mary on the mouth. Others say, no, it's saying Jesus kisses Mary on the hands. Jesus kisses
Or the
Mary on the cheek.
forehead.
And depending on what you think it says can connotate so many different things. in that circumstance, you know, yeah, you do need to for sure cross-reference and try to determine what you think that actual translation is. But for the most part, like Angel said, you're going to get the gist of it.
Yeah, especially like she, like you said, like I have three different versions of the Gnostic text. Like I have it in English and Spanish and in Arabic. And I have someone who speaks some Arabic in the house, and then I have my knowledge of Spanish and then of course English. So when I put it all together, it's like, okay, I get it. Especially the whole part of Mary and stuff, like, but like you said, it draws it out to where you don't know where he kissed her, but you assume it was on the lips, the way the rest of the context of the text is.
And that's the thing, and that's all we can do because some of those things are missing. That's all we can do is to read and to try to get the gist of the context. And that's where truly you need to be able to cross-reference into the different translations.
This is where school comes in, and when they taught you context clue reading, that's where you need to use it.
I don't think they teach that shit no more.
They do not. I will tell you that. They do not. They do not teach you how to use context clues in reading anymore at all. I had to teach my children that myself.
That's so sad because that shouldn't be something that we have to teach. Because context is not just about what you read, it's literally how we communicate. Like I tell Clyde all the time, like he will, you know, he'll just out of the blue say half a sentence and look at me and expect me to know what he's talking about. I'm like, can I have a little context, please? Give me just a little bit of information so that I know what you're talking about. That has nothing to do with reading or studying. That's just everyday communication, every single day. That's all same thing when you're reading.
Like,
You need to
where is the
understand.
meat? Where's the meat to your fucking conversation, sir?
Yay. As you can see, society's language barriers have changed too.
I kid you not, it will be something as like ridiculously simplistic as he'll be like, yeah, okay, let's do that. Okay. A little bit more context, please.
What are we
Let's do
doing?
what?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Okay, to be fair, sometimes I do that. Because I'll be thinking about something, I'll be like, yeah, we're gonna do that. And Danny will just look at me
I
like,
know,
what?
exactly. And I know that's what he's doing. I know it's, but I'm like,
I'll
I'm
be like,
not
don't
in
worry,
there.
I'm gonna fill you in when my brain finishes filling me
Sometimes I'm in there, but right now I'm not. So help me out.
in.
Throw me a bone. I do think the John D. crystal is pretty freaking cool.
That is interesting, especially if you believe in the angel aspect.
Yeah. That's, you know, John D. is I don't think we've gone over him yet in our historical folks. John
No, I don't
D.
think so.
Yeah. He's on the list. We just haven't gotten to him yet. But
No.
he's probably one of the more famous occultists from several hundred years ago. And a cultist and magician, very known magician, well-known magician. And there's a lot of public published works out there. A lot of people still read his publications, his writings. And but he did make some claims that, you know, I don't know if they're real or not, obviously. But yes, the claim on, so this is a historical artifact because it did belong to John Dee. It's in a museum. I forget where it's at, somewhere in Europe, I believe. And but according to John Dee, that crystal was received directly from an angel, Uriel. It's and you can actually go online and look for pictures of it. I mean, it's quite
Fuck
interesting.
yeah. It's
Yeah,
actually a
the
really
guy he
pretty
gave it.
crystal.
Yeah, and the guy he gave it to,
I guess he eventually got rid of it because he said that there was like a demon that burst out of it or something. Like,
Yeah. Like, it's a gorgeous crystal. I mean,
how weird would it be if an angel popped up and just handed you a crystal that had a demon trapped in it? Like, here you go. Bye.
for
Enjoy.
real.
Hey, human. Hey, human. Want a demon trapped in a crystal from an angel? Fuck no. I'm gonna be like, I need you to take your funky little rock and go back where you came from. Get away from me. I don't want those problems.
Well, you have to remember back then, especially during that time, they were doing a lot of work with the Goetia.
According to this, John Dee lived from 1527 to 1609.
Also had a
Those times.
scry an Aztec scrying mirror as well, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, he was into like just scrying and crystals and mirrors in general.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the picture of his Aztec obsidian scrying mirror. I'm like, that's in
Were you
great
working with
condition.
demons in a way that you trap them to make them do your bidding? That was
Yeah.
kind of like the thing.
His whole
Yeah.
thing. So at the
Interesting.
time, it was probably a badass gift, just probably not today.
Like the crystal that was given to him, first of all, like the whole setting that it's in, that thing looks immaculate for as old as it is.
Well,
Yeah.
my point was that that angel is irresponsible and reckless giving that kind of shit to a human. That was my point. It probably was an amazing gift.
How many things did angels come down and hand over to the human race from all these stories and be all like, here, have fun,
And
enjoy
now look
this.
at us. Look where we're at. Good job, Uriel. Good job.
All these
Well, the
angels are like,
angel Moroni
shut.
came down and handed Joseph Smith the golden tablets so that he can create the Mormons.
So he can create magical underwear
Yeah.
that looks like a burlap sack and goes from your neck to your ankles. And then they tie you to the bed. Never mind. I swear I'm not here to just drag religions.
You know we are.
But also, come on. Magic burlap underwear and tied to the bed. This, y'all.
Don't forget the wooden board in between the bed to separate the male and the female. Never mind.
How about if you just give me my own fucking bed and get away from me? How about that? Can I wear what I want to bed if I have my own bed? All right, so we're gonna wrap up for now. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon. It is free. You do not have to pay to subscribe unless you want to help support. Don't forget, if you are here, drop us a like. If you're not subscribed, subscribe and hit the bell notification so you don't miss any of our lives or any of our videos that we upload. And that way you're always there if we decide to do another giveaway. So
Yeah.
we'll see you next time.